Welcome to the Spectator PM podcast. I'm your host, Aubrey Gulick, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ellie Gardy. Today, we have a really tragic story to talk about, a British equestrian who competed internationally and was involved in a major accident a few years ago, decided to receive euthanasia and assisted suicide. So, Ellie, tell us a little bit more about this story.
Yeah, this woman was just 31 years old when she decided to die by euthanasia. She had a major injury 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, when she fell off a horse while competing. And as a result, she was paralyzed. And she decided, you know, I'd rather die than be paralyzed. And she penned this suicide note. It's very long and extremely disturbing and very strange. And her family posted it on Facebook after her death.
Right. And the note kind of goes in to explain, like, I guess her thought process leading up to her suicide. And it's really tragic because I think it kind of captures some of what's going on with the whole movement towards euthanasia, or the, I guess, kind of the padded term for it now is the like assisted suicide, right? Like, the MAID program in Canada. She's from the UK, and it really talked about, or she walks through like all of her mental processes and pretty much comes to the conclusion that she doesn't want to live a life where she can't do the things that she loves because she's physically limited. And it was just, it was a hard letter to read. I mean, it always is when you're dealing with people who are going through something as emotionally traumatic as like a major injury that, you know, redefines their entire life. And it's really tragic that she chose to end her life because of it. And yeah, it was really hard to read, but also really just, I don't know. To me, it exposed one of the things that I've really struggled with this with the whole like euthanasia thing is like, really, it's just a way, well, it's really a product, right? Of people who have lost the ability to elevate suffering, right? And have lost the ability to see it in a light more than just like, this is something really difficult that I'm going through, and to spiritualize it or to understand it in the context of eternity. So, yeah.
Yeah, her whole attitude is, if I'm not doing exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it, then I'd rather not live. And to back up this whole claim, she quotes this philosopher, Alan Watts, who said that he'd rather have a short life that is full of what I love doing than a long life spent in a miserable way. So it's just, you know, the constant seeking of pleasure that dominates our cultures reached a point where if people have a disability, these certain individuals are deciding, oh, I'm just going to kill myself. And that's societally supported, legal, and promoted. And, you know, this is terrible for people who have disabilities. And, you know, to have this woman giving this example of, oh, I had a disability, so I decided to kill myself. It just says she thought her life wasn't worth living. She's kind of saying other people who have injuries similar to mine, their lives aren't worth living. It's just a terrible message. And, you know, it's not true. Her life was completely worth living. And when she, after she had the injury, she picked up photography and she was working on horse farms, and, you know, it wasn't enough for her. She wanted to be riding. So.
Right. Yeah. And she did, it does seem like she gave, like she attempted to stay within the industry and to, you know, continue to do things with, you know, the equestrian world, especially since she loved it so much. It also seems like she put a lot of work into trying to recover, and that it just wasn't going to happen for her. And so it does seem like she tried, and she admits that earlier in her life, she'd struggled a lot with depression. So I'm sure that that played a role in this as well, but it's one of those things where it's like, you were pointing out, like, where our culture, you know, is like constantly seeking more and more pleasure. And I think something that this really highlights is that our culture has left like spirituality in a more Christian sense so far behind that it no longer sees a life without pleasure as worth living, because it no longer sees suffering as redemptive or helpful or, you know, in any way good. It's an accident, or, you know, a tragic thing that we have to stop. So, you know, when you're considering like, oh, do I really want to live this life where I may be miserable because I can't do exactly what I want the way that I want to do it? I can't have my way in my life. You get to a point where like, yeah, it seems like it would be better to die than not to, right? Or to go on living. And it's just a really tragic way to approach it. Whereas, like, you know, the Christian worldview, we look at suffering as redemptive. As you know, joining within Christ's suffering. We're recording this on Good Friday, so this is something that's obviously been in my mind a lot. But it's really interesting that she's essentially like she doesn't see suffering as worth it, or you know, a life without doing exactly everything that she wants is worth it.
Yeah, I really hope people look at the story and see, this woman had so many years of life to live, and she had so many wonderful things she was doing and had yet to accomplish, and family members to love, and a whole life to live. And our governments are, I don't know where she received this euthanasia. It hasn't been made public. But whatever government's laws allowed this to happen that sanctioned her death. It's just unbelievable that that was allowed to happen. And we really need to have people start looking at these laws and realizing this is just enabling people to commit suicide. That's what it is. And more people will just continue to turn to officially sanctioned suicide unless we make it illegal. And so you look at Canada with the whole MAID regime, the number of people who have turned to medical aid in dying is what they call it. They call euthanasia there is increasing every year. And there's more and more stories about how people are turning to MAID in Canada, not because they have a diagnosis that gives them only a few years left to live, but just because they have a disability or they're struggling a bit or they have depression or maybe they're struggling with housing. And it's whatever excuse works, whatever reason, the Canadian government will kill these people. And so we really need to start rethinking and seeing this leads to this 31-year-old bright, happy woman deciding, oh yeah, I'm just gonna allow the government to kill me.
Right. And I think she even admits in her letter, right? Like she wanted a family and she wasn't, I mean, it was actually a possibility for her, you know, like her injury had not gotten it to a point where she, you know, was sure that she wouldn't be able to have children. And so like, yeah, there's so much left in her life. And yeah, it was just, she decided that that was it. She didn't want to go on living it. And yeah, it's becoming more and more common, unfortunately, and becoming a bigger and bigger issue, especially in, you know, places like Canada. I think between 2021 and 2022, some stats I was seeing this morning said that, you know, assisted suicides or euthanasia had jumped by 30% just in that one, you know,
Wow.
that one year, which is absolutely massive. And I'm sure it's increased since then. I don't think we have numbers quite yet on it. But it's just, you know, increasing. The more legal and normalized this kind of thing becomes, the worse it's going to get. And the thing is, and you pointed this out, right? Like, it's not just, we're not dealing with, you know, people who are have chronic illnesses or are going to die in a few, you know, weeks or months, and they want to pick the place that they want to die, which would be sad enough. We're dealing with people who are depressed or are, you know, have some kind of disability or, you know, just can't find housing or just don't like their life, right? And they're like, okay, I want to end it, but you know, this seems like a safer and more painless way to go. Although is anything really safe if it's going to end in death? No, not really. But and like it's amazing to me that any doctor or anybody who ever calls himself a doctor would participate in it. It's amazing to me that any like government legislator would be a participant in this kind of, you know, regime of death. And yeah, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, and people just doctor shop. If one doctor won't kill them, they'll just look for another doctor. And it's a real problem with protect trying to decrease deaths by suicide. We have all of these government initiatives to try to decrease suicides. And as a culture, we understand suicide is wrong and we really try to put a stop to it. But that entire effort to decrease suicides is totally upended when the government comes out and says, Oh yeah, but we'll allow you to commit suicide officially. You just gotta, show up at this place and we'll have the official method for you. It really is problematic for people who struggle with suicidal thoughts, and it just seems like, oh, there's an officially sanctioned way to go. This is totally legal and good. And that sort of attitude is really poisonous.
Right? Why fight when it's so easy? Yeah, it's really tragic that we've gotten to a point where we're encouraging suicides rather than, trying to actually help people work their way out of that place in your mind. And it's never I mean it, there's never a good way to go. And you read all these testimonials and I'm like, oh, it was so peaceful. It's like, no, it wasn't. Like, you have to know that, like, the what's going on to get to that point, to get to a point where it'd be like, yeah, I think I want somebody's help in killing myself. Like, to be in that mental state is not at all peaceful, regardless of how peaceful it might seem. Like, yeah.
But one thing we can look out for is there's a growing movement to pass laws in the United States to legalize euthanasia across more states. And in states that already have euthanasia, there's a movement to make it easier to access euthanasia. So, for example, in California, a couple of years ago, they passed a law that removed some of the restrictions and just, made it a lot easier to get euthanasia. So we got to keep an eye on those laws and make sure that we try to get rid of the laws that there are so that, we can try to stop people from thinking that this is an okay outlet and that, there it's a good option to kill themselves because it never is.
Right. Yep. And ultimately, culture and legislation both have an impact on each other. Sometimes, the culture is downstream of politics. Other ways, politics is downstream of culture, but they definitely do have an impact on each other. So opposing those laws when and where they come up is absolutely vital. Well, thank you for joining us on the Spectator PM podcast. Thanks for listening. Be sure to come back next week and to check out the American Spectator's other podcast, The Spectacle. You can find Ellie and myself on the website. You can find us on Twitter. And be sure to subscribe to the American Spectator if you're not already subscribed. We just had our latest magazine come out. It's on religion. It's a fantastic issue. We're really excited about it. And so if you subscribe, you'll get one sent to you in the mail. It's really fun. Thank you, everybody, and have a great week.